Tetziata d'shmai. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Gimel in Maseches Shabbos. Our daf is continuing on with the halachos of Muktzah, and we're going to be discussing on today's daf the heterim of a kli that is usher to be metalto, and that's going to be the primary discussion of our entire daf. What is the scope of the isur of total kalim? When are there times that are mutter? And in the bigger picture, what's most important is we're going to see that over time there were changes in the halachos of muktzah. We had left off on the top of Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph in Mevak Sheemes in Tavshin Pei. I don't remember where we were in Tavshin Ayin Gimel, but that's where we are in Mevak Sheemes in Tavshin Pei. And there the Gemara had suggested that when you have a kli shemalachta l'isser, you'd be allowed to move it l'tzarech gufa. We're familiar that halach l'maisa, a kli shemalachta l'isser could be moved l'tzarech gufa. In other words, if you could use that item for a heter purpose, for example, a hammer to break open a walnut, as well as l'tzarech mekomo, we paskin, that if you need to use the hammer to use its place, then you're allowed to pick it up. Let's say the hammer is sitting on the table, you want to eat at that place in the table, you're allowed to pick it up and move it. The Gemara from Rabbah on the bottom of Kuf Chav Beis on the base had said that's mutar tzarech gufa, and the Gemara even challenges that. Eis ve'abaye l'Rabbah meducha. If you have a grater, im yesh bashum, if it has garlic metaltanosa, then the halacha is that you're allowed to move it. Vim lav, but otherwise ein metaltanosa, that the halacha is that you're not allowed to move it. Why are you not allowed to move it? Because it's muktzah. It's kli shemalachta l'isser. Why are you allowed to move it when it has garlic on it? Because you're now not simply moving isser, you're moving heter and isser together. What does that tell us? That seems to tell us that the halacha is that a meducha alone cannot be moved, even l'tzarech gufo, even if you want to use the meducha for an act that's mutter. The Gemara says, Amalei, the Rabbah responded, Hamani Rebbe Nechemihi. This price is going according to a more stringent opinion. The opinion of Rebbe Nechemia, the Omar ain't klita mitel el tzarech tashmisha. Rebbe Nechemia was more machmir. He didn't only hold that klishim lachtel iser is aser to be used if it's not letzarech gufo or letzarech mekomo. He held the only time you're allowed to use it is for its majority, its primary purpose. And therefore a grater could be moved only for grating, not letzarech gufo or mekomo. Esve, we'll skip the parentheses according to Marshal. Vishavin shim katzev alav basar shasal etalto. The Mishnah in Beitza tells us that if you have a knife that is used principally for cutting meat, in other words, raw meat it has just been slaughtered, so then it's also to be metalto. So that also, why? Should be mutter, according to what we have said from Rabbah, it's our gufa. Savar. So he thought to answer Shnuya Kerebbe Nechemia. That Rebbe Nechemia is the mandamer over there, who says, Ein klinito el tzarech tashmisha. But kivan deshama laha damer of chanina bar shlima mishmei derav, hakol moidin besichi zairi umizari. That everybody agrees when it comes to these particular kalim, sichi are peds, ziri and mazori, these were all different kalim that were used in the process of laundering. So these different kalim are kalim that are used particularly in regards to laundering. Dekapid alayu, that people are makbid and they leave it in a particular place. If you had an expensive laundering machine, you wouldn't leave it around. On Shabbos, what would you do? You would put it away. Miyachad l'umakom, and you designate its place. Your Rashi says, maksil hem biyadai, you max it from your hand. Hachanami miyachad l'umakom. So too, the expensive butcher's knife, your miyachad l'umakom. What the Gemara has just introduced us to is the concept of muktza machmas chisaron kis. That when you have something that is expensive and is used for a particular malacha, so then if that malacha is not purposeful on Shabbos, so then the item is not simply a klisha malacha l'isser, but it's mutza machmas chisaron kis. Amir Tzashem, we will discuss in the halacha from the daily daf some components of mutza machmas chisaron kis. Itmar, Rebbi Abba, Amar Rebbi Yochanan, a hammer, shel zahavin, of gold makers. Shaninu Rav Shaman Bar Abba Amar Karnes Shel Bisamin. Shaninu Mada Amar Bisamin Kol Shekein Bezavin. Some learned that the halacha is the same applies to that which is used to break Bisamin. And those who said Bisamin, certainly that which is used to break gold. So those also are Muktzah Machnas Bisam Kis. Manda Amar Shel Zahavin, the one who said that which breaks gold, Aval Bisamin, Kapid Olayu. But when it comes to Bisamin, those items, one is Makbid. So the halacha would be that it also has the din of Muktzah Machnas Bisam Kis. So when our Mishnah had mentioned that when it comes to the cornos, that the halacha is that one is allowed to do it, to use it, you could use it luftzoas agozim. You could use it to break open walnuts. So the Gemara says that what type of ham are we talking about? The Gemara says that we're talking about karnes shel zahavim. The Gemara says that concludes that when it comes to the hammer that's used for zahavim, that you could use to open the walnuts. But when it comes to the one for besamim, that people are makbid, that shouldn't get dirty, and then you would not be able to use it. We also learned in our Mishnah, es hakush, the es hakarka, the spindle and the wool, also, the halacha is that one is allowed to be metaltalit. Some learn that you're metaltalit to be able to eat something. Tana Rabbanan. Now the Gemara broadens the question in regards to moving things in general. Another similar example of using a utensil to eat something. Paga shetamna b'tevin v'charora shetamna g'gacholim. If you have an onion that was, or a fig, that was dug in into hay, or a biscuit that's in coals, imigula miktsasa, if a little bit of it is revealed, muto tatla, then you're allowed to move it. Vim lav asa b'tatla. And if not, you're not allowed to move it. Why? Because by moving it, you're going to cause the item, the hay, which is muksa, to be moved. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi Yomer, even if it's not uncovered, that's why we're mentioning this Gemara, tochlin kvush obechikar, you're allowed to use the achush, that was the spindle, the hain minaros me'elein, and then you would stab it into the piece of food, and when you pull it out, the dirt moves on its own. So if you're moving it on its own, then it's going to be mutter. This concept we're going to see, the Gemara is about to say it to us, is the concept of tiltul min hatzad. In this case, you're not going to be pushing aside the dirt or the hay with your hand, but you're being metaltul min hatzad. Amar Nachman aloch Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi. Says the Gemara, lemeimra, the sarah of Nachman tiltul min hatzad, lo shmei tiltul. As we just explained, that since you're not directly moving, it's not called tiltul. Is that really the svara? Lo amar of Nachman. Hai pugla, if you have a radish, milamala limata shari, milamata limala asur. You have two different types of radishes. One, the radish is wide on top and narrow on the bottom. The other radish is wide on the bottom and narrow on top. The one that is wide on the bottom, when you pull it up, you're going to need to move the dirt. So there we see that tiltul min hatzad is asur. So the Gemara says, and that's why the halacha is mimata limala, you're not allowed to pull up the radish because you're pushing it aside. Says the Gemara, hadar be Rav Nachman me'ahi. Rav Nachman changed his psak they had given by the tznon and by the pugla, and he said it's mutter because tiltul min hatzad is mutter. And this is Aliba de Hilchasa, that if you're not moving it directly, if by pulling out something you're causing the muktzah to move, then in such a case it's going to be mutter. We also learned in our Mishnah, machet shel yad litelba, that you're allowed to use a needle to take hakodes, to take out a splinter. Shalach le rava brei de rabba le rav yosef, lamdeinu rabbeinu, machat shenitel charora, o uktzama. What happens if you have a needle that doesn't have a hole on the top? Now, what's the difference between a needle that has a hole on the top or doesn't have a hole? So a needle that has a hole is a needle that's ready to be used. It's capable to to be threaded and to be used. So it's a full-fledged kli. Now we know that items that are not kalim, they're muktzah. So here he says as follows: what happens if it doesn't have a hole? Our Mishnah said that you could use the needle to take out a splinter. Maybe that's only a needle with a hole. Amalei tinitua machet shel yad litol bo esar kodes. That the halacha is that you're allowed to use it because to take out a splinter. Analyzes the Gemara. V'chimayich basle l'kodes. Does the splinter know it? Whether bein nekuva le bein shein nekuva, the splinter is going to either come out or not come out, whether there's a hole on the top of the needle or not. So if the Mishnah says you're allowed to move it for that purpose, then obviously it's mutter. Says the Gemara, eisvei, but is that so? Now we go to Tumah V'Tahara. Now the Gemara is pointing out that the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara and Shabbos for muktzah will parallel, because we know an item that is muktzah is an item often that's not a kli. If it's a kli, then you're allowed to be metalta. So says the Gemara, Eisvei, machat shenitel charara o uktza tahora. A needle that doesn't have that hole on top and can't be used to thread is tahor. It doesn't have a din kli. So if that's so, if it doesn't have a din kli for tahara, then it shouldn't have a din kli in regards to tiltal. If it doesn't have a din kli, then it should be muktza. It should be like eitzim v'avonim. Amar Abaye, Tumah, Shabbos, Karamah. So you're asking the steer between Tumah and Hilchos Shabbos. Tumah, Kli Maisa Bina. When it comes to Tumah, it's not considered a Kli unless it's functional. It needs to be able to thread a sweater. Linyan Shabbos, Midi the Chazi Bina. For Shabbos, the question is whether it's functional. V'hanami Chazi Mishkol HaBakotz. And this could be used to take out a thorn. Amar Rava. Rava had a different approach. Mandi Kamosu Shapir Kamosu. Rava says, no, I disagree with you, Abaye. The kasha is a gevaldik kasha, and whatever the halachos are for Tumah V'Tahara, those are going to be the halachos for Shabbos. So we have a fundamental machlokus between Abaye and Rava, whether the din kli for Shabbos is going to be the same din kli for Tumah V'Tahara. But the Gemara immediately challenges Rava. Meisvei, the Braisa says black and white, not like Rava. The Braisa says that the whole requirement of functionality is only necessary, I shouldn't use the word functionality, the whole definition of Kli is only necessary when it comes to Tumah V'Tahara, but for Shabbos it doesn't make a difference as long as it could be used. Says the Gemara, Tirgama Abaye, leader the Rava. Abaye was a good friend of Rava. He says, even though at first glance it seems to be a riot to me, I'll defend you, Rava. Begulme askina. We're talking about needles that are not entirely developed. When it comes to these needles, that when it comes to Tumah, they're not considered a Kli, but when it comes to Shabbos, they are considered a Kli. In other words, they're needles that are only half the size, they're missing parts, and so when it comes to the halacha of Shabbos Zimnu D'min L'Chalayu U'mash V'Leiman, that there are times that you decide that you're going to use it, and it's going to be for to remove a splinter. Aval Heicha, D'nidl Chararo U'tza, but the case that we had originally asked, that's not even a functional machat at all, because it doesn't have at all its hole. It's not a bent out of shape, half the size needle. But rather, the entire hole is removed. Adam zarka l'bein agrutos. People throw it away, and therefore it's not going to be considered kli, both l'inyan Shabbos and l'inyan Tumah. The Gemara brings now another machlokis in regards to our Mishnah. Asuve yinuka. Asuve yinuka is a utensil that was used to straighten the limbs of a child after he was born. That a child's limbs, just like we have, that sometimes if a child is born a little bit with a cone head, and they'll try to flatten it out. So too, different limbs were flattened out. So are you allowed to use that on Shabbos? Over here, we're going to be discussing the issue of refuah. Is this an iser of refuah? Rav Nachman asir, Rav Sheshes shari. Rav Nachman prohibited, Rav Sheshes permitted. Amar Rav Nachman, no, Amin Allah, says Rav Nachman, how I know this not. Ein osen afik tizon b'shabbos. You're not allowed to make afik tizon. Afik tizon is something that encourages a person to vomit. So you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And therefore, if the halacha is that that is going to be aser, because you're making the body better, certainly when you're straightening out the body of the baby, that's going to be aser. In those days, they thought that if the person vomited, it would remove something that was unhealthy inside. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Hasam lav orche. It's not normal for a person to vomit. You're supposed to digest what you eat. Hacha orche. But here it's normal. There it's not normal. The case of the baby, it's not normal. But hacha orche. But here it's going to be. No, I said it right the first time. When it comes to the vomit, it's not normal for a person to do. But when it comes for the tinok, so then in such a case, it's normal. And all children, they would straighten out the limbs. Amar Rav Sheshes, Menoah Minala, says Rav Sheshes, how do I know this? How do I know that what's normal is mutter? It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah, Machat Shel Yad Litol Bo Es HaKotz, that when it comes to the needle, that the halacha is that you're allowed to remove the splinter. Now, why should that be mutter? Maybe that's refuah as well. Elamai, what is normal to do, is not considered refuah. Rashi says, "Litol bo esakotz alma tikune gavra b'midi delav refuah." It's not mamish refuah. Delecha mishum shchika samimanim. You're not actually grinding the medicine. So when is refuah? So that's mamish refuah. But anything that's normally done for the person to make him feel a little better, that's going to be permissible. And therefore, the halacha is that just like machat shel yad is going to be mutter, so too for the baby it's mutter. For Nachman, but Nachman disagrees. Hasan pakid, hacha lo pakid. When it comes to the case of the needle, you're inserting the needle to something that's sitting in the body, and you're removing it. You're just removing something that's sitting inside the body. Hacha lo pakid. But when it comes to the baby, there, it's not that you're just removing something. You're straightening something out. So if you're straightening something out, then that's going to qualify as refuah. That qualifies refuah, and therefore aser. The Mishnah continues, Kane shel zeisim. If you have a reed that was used for olives, im yesh kesher berosho. Now, reeds would have these parts on the top of it which would clump. And that was referred to as a kesher. We're going to see that that clump on top of the reed actually serves a purpose. So, Kane shel zeisim yesh kesher berosho mekabel tumah. If it has a kesher on the top, it's mekabel tumah. Vim lav a mekabel tumah. But if it doesn't, it's not mekabel tumah. Ben kach u ben kach nitol b'shabbos. And in both instances, the halacha is that you could be metaltel it on Shabbos. So here again, we have a dichotomy. It's mekabel tumah if it has a kesher. Why? We're going to see in the Gemara that the kesher makes it, adds another function for the zeisim. But either way, it's not a problem of being metaltel on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Amai pshute kli eitzu. Why is the halacha that it's mekabel tumah? It's like pshute kli eitz. Pshute kli eitz ain't a mekabel tumah. And pshute kli eitz are not mekabel tumah. In other words, it needs to be a vessel to be mekabel tumah. And this is a straight thing. Pshute means, of course, means a straight utensil of wood that has no sack, we're about to see in the Gemara, has no receptacle. So then in such a case, it's not mekabel tumah. It says in the Gemara, why is it pshute kli eitz and mekabel tumah my time adumi the sack ba'ina? The Torah, when it describes tumah, uses the description of a sack in order to describe tumah. Mikol kli eitz abegre or a sack. And Chazal understand that it needs to have a receptacle. So that's your reason. So that you would say that it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So tan mishmeidram nechemya b'shosh shemahapich b'zeisim hafcho v'roebo. The Gemara answers no. When you turn over the olives, you use this kesher that we described before to look at the different olives because it rounds on the top. It could be used something like a spoon, and therefore it's not a rather pshute kli eitz, and it already could be considered dumya. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yossi Einer, kol hakelim hanitalim, that all kelim one can be metaltal. Chutz min ha-meser ha-godol v'yaseg shel ha-nachareish. A large knife that's normally used for cutting outside items like wood and so on, as well as the plow, those things one is not allowed to be metaltal. Amar Rav Nachman, hay uchlo dekatsari, a utensil that is used by launderers. Yaseh shel mechareish adami is considered like the plow. Amar Abaye ad charbo de ushvichi, the knife for those who use to cut hides, the sakina dash kapta, and the knife that's used to cut meat, the chatzina de nagari, and the axe that's used by carpenters. Yaseh shel mechareish adami, they're all considered in the category of Yasev Shel Machareisha. Now, what exactly is this? What exactly is this category? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says at the end of Dibar Maskel, the Yasev Shel Machareisha, Rashi on the Mishnah, Dahanich Kapit Olayu, Umeyachel Emakom, Delo Chazim Umeloch Acheres. That's what we had said also by Sichi Diziri on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph. We said that those things that miyached makom, and your makom not to use it for anything else, that's muktzah. That we're going to see is muktzah machmas, what we call muktzah machmas chisar and kis, that it's used for no other purpose, and therefore it's entirely aser to be metalta. Tana Rabbana, Barishona, in the beginning. Now, the explanation of Barishona we're going to see at the end of the Omrim. In the beginning, Hayu Omrim, they said, Shlosha kelim nitalim b'shabbos, that there are three utensils that could be handled on Shabbos. Only three utensils, Rabbosai. Mikzoa shel devela, the sakin katana that was used to cut figs, vizuam alitran shel kadera, and a large spoon, vizakin katana shel gabi shofan. Everything else is going to be aser. We're going to see at the end of the Amud a very, very important line. The Gemara, about six lines from the Amid, quotes from Bimei Nechemya ben Chakalya. The Psukim describe already in the Sefer of Nechemya that during the time of Nechemya, the Klal Yisrael had become weak in Hilchos Shabbos. So Nechemya made certain takanas. So that's what the Gemara says. Nishnah Mishnah Zhu. That this Mishnah was learned with the Schumras of Tiltul, the Chsiv Bayom Mehem. So that's what happened. They began to make gzeros. And so says the Braisa, originally the gzeros was so far reaching that there was only three utensils. Now it happened to be that they probably used less utensils than we use today in eating, but the point is, look at the utensils that they allowed. Something to cut fruits, a small knife, and a spoon. Those were the basic utensils that you need. Anything else was going to be aser. Why? Because without the gzeres, people were going to be mechalal Shabbos. So hitiru continues the Gemara three lines before the why. V'chazri hitiru. Then, as they saw things were getting better, they were matter more. Aksha amro kol akel nitol b'Shabbos. Then we go to our Mishnah. So you have from the time of Nehemiah all the way to the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi until they said kol akel nitol b'Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to know what exactly was the evolution of what was Aser and what was Mutter. The Gemara wants to know a little bit of the halachic history. It went like this. Originally they were matir, something that could be used leheter, letzar kufa. If you need it, if you need a fork, letzar kufa, it's going to be Mutter. Otherwise you can't move the fork at all. No, if you needed the place of the fork, it was also mutter. And then they were matter even darshal nachtal iser. Letzara gufo. They were only matter letzara gufo in letzara mekama lo. Vadayim biyado achas in, and they were only matter with one hand. B'shte yado lo. They didn't even allow you to be metalto those things that needed to be handled with two hands. Those things that need to be handled with two hands are more likely to do malacha with, like plows and drills and things like that. Even those kelim that need to be moved with two hands. Amalei, Rava didn't like that exact explanation that Abaye gave. Michti, hetero, They were matter then. Mali tzarech gufa, mali tzarech mekomo. You're saying that there is a difference between tzarech gufa and tzarech mekomo? The Braisa says that they allowed kelim misuyamin, certain kelim. It doesn't talk about different stages of tzarech gufa, tzarech mekomo, just talks about different kelim. So Rav is going to focus on kelim. Elam Rava. First they allowed klishim lachta leheter tzarech gufa tzarech mekomo. Then they were matir mecham letzel. They allowed klishim lachta leheter tzarech gufa tzarech mekomo. But mecham letzel lo. But they still didn't allow going from the sun to the shade. The halacha is that we're allowed to move a knife from the sun to the shade, but we're not allowed to move a klisha malachta l'isser from the sun to the shade. So there are different rules of moving it, letzarech gufa mekomo versus letzel. So here they allow the dover shem malachta l'isser only letzarech gufa mekomo and not mekomo letzel. V'adayim bo de mechad in b'shnei b'nei adam lo. But those things that were needed to be carried by two people would be aser. Acha amru, then the heter came, kol kem tarim b'shav sefil b'shnei adam. So that was the heter. Esve Abaye asked the following question. What about the brisa that we start with? Yes?
Isn't that more of a tier kind of something, maybe more of a problem? So if someone's using something for one person using something for two people, isn't that?
Yeah, there are times that would be tier, but I guess there were certain can, maybe a very, very large, can pass pots. Massive, massive pots to move from one place to the other. So maybe it'll be us, or it's more likely that you're going to do malach with it, kamash malon, that if you're not doing malach, that's going to be mutter. If you have a grater, if it has garlic, we learned this in the beginning of today's daf, a little bit of garlic, then you're allowed to be metalton. So what do you see that that's aser? Why? We said everything's mutter. No, the grater is aser, mechamel itzel. Tzarek ufa, tzarek mekomo is going to be mutter. Esve, you're going back to these brises that we quoted before. That the knife, the butcher's knife, is aser. Hafanami mechamel itzel. Also mechamel itzel, it's aser. But in hafanami, now it's mutter, tzarek ufa, tzarek mekomo. Then we have this line of Rabbi Chanina that we said before. Amar Rabbi Chanina bin mei nechemi bin chakali nishnam bin shizu. V'chsiv v'yomim mahem ha-re'isi b'yuda darfim gasis b'shabas u'meviim ha-aremos. So that is where this came from. In fact, this is the source of what we would call the Isser of Gzeiras Tiltol Kalim. The Gzeiras Tiltol Kalim started with the days of Nehemiah. That's not to say that there wasn't a din of Muktzah that's prior, because if you remember, all the way back from 100 days ago, we had the Gemara on Lamed Aleph on the Beis, and that told us the Gemara of the death of David HaMelech, that Shlomo HaMelech went and he asked the Chachamim that his father had died. Remember, David HaMelech was supposed to die in Shabbos, and he was learning and learning and learning. The Malach HaMavis couldn't get him. Then what the Malach HaMavis did is he made noise. David kept on learning, walked outside, and then he made something fall in the step, and then David HaMelech fell, and he passed away. Shlomo HaMelech sends to the Chachamim, Avi Meis and Mutal B'chama. And there the Gemara says an amazing thing, that a Kelev Chai is more Chashuv than an Adam Meis. And the question was, how does he remove the goof of David HaMelech? So clearly there was a concept of Muktzah already from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. That type of Muktzah, at least parts of it, the Gemara suggests, has a Havamina, makes Muktzah D'oraisa, the Gemara Psach HaMadaf Menvav. We pass in the Muktzah's D'Rabbanim, but that D'Rabbanim might have already gone back to Arsinai. But then we have another din, another track, and that is the Gzeirah of Tiltol Kalim. And that's another track that starts with the Gzeirah Nehemiah, and that what we saw in today's daf, Hitiru, Chazru, Betiru. We'll stop with this Yatta Dishmaya over here.